Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 33. This week's guest is Gretchen Hayhurst. Gretchen comes to talk about some of her favorite projects, her favorite cameras, and some of her favorite trips. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is show 33 of the Lensless Podcast. You can hear Andrew, Mayor of Mayhem, Bartram back there coughing away. Andrew, how's it going?
Well, I've just crawled out of my sick bed to be here with you because I couldn't miss two shows in a following on from each other. People would start to think I've been abandoned.
Yep. Close. How's it going?
Well, I have a bit of a sore throat. I'm okay, really. But it normally, when I get a sore throat, it normally turns into a full blown dose of man flu. Yeah,
no man proper. I feel sorry for Julie.
Oh, she's used to it.
You're laying on the couch and ringing that bell and all.
No, I have a buzzer, a big red button that I press.
So this week's guest is Gretchen Hayhurst. Gretchen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Yeah, cool.
Hello, Gretchen.
Yeah, hello, Gretchen.
Hi, Andrew.
Andrew, you've met Gretchen, haven't you?
Have you
met Gretchen?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, we met in a... I think I first spoke to you, Gretchen, in that pub when we were having fish and chips, or did we speak during the daytime? I can't remember now.
Well, we did, but... more so in the fish and chips place.
Yeah, we sat around the table and I introduced you and your friend to fruity cider.
Right.
Old moot or moat or old moot cider.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. And we had Todd on the table as well, didn't we?
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. So, all of us from the Pacific Northwest, yes.
I was just about to say, where exactly are you at, Gretchen? You're in Portland. Okay, cool.
That's the place to be, isn't it? That must be because it begins with a P.
I've been to Portland before.
That must be it.
Portland pinhole people.
Yeah.
We have a huge pinhole community, that's for sure.
I'm looking at your Flickr page and you obviously are into all kinds of photography. I see you have fisheye and iPhone and 3D and panoramas. So if anybody wants to follow along with us, we're going to be looking at Gretchen's Flickr account, which is Flickr, just Gretchen Hayhurst. And there's a lot to cover, but we're going to be looking at pinholes. And Andrew has some questions about to look at on here. So before we get into that, Gretchen, why don't you take a second and just kind of introduce yourself and let everybody know a little bit about yourself.
Well, I suppose you want to know about how long I've been doing photography, and I hate to date myself, but I had a camera in my...
Just tell us how long you've been doing pinhole photography.
Oh, how long? Okay, that's better. About 10 years on pinhole photography.
Awesome. That's cool.
And my first pinhole camera was a Zero Image that was put into my hands by Zeb Andrews.
Awesome. We know Zeb.
And, yes. Yep. And if you, probably under my pinhole, if you see the photo at the beach where there's two photographers on the cliff, I was at a workshop down at the Oregon coast with Zeb. And it was a horrible, horrible night. That was from my very first roll of pinhole photography.
That's your first picture in your pinhole album, isn't it? Have you just fallen over? You're okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a whole. I need to get an office because I'm getting stacks of film holders and boxes of film and all kinds of stuff. And I just had a landslide of film holders and stuff. Sorry, everybody.
Cape Kiwanda.
That's it.
It has a haystack rock, just like Cannon Beach is famous for.
Yeah. That's a lovely picture. Is that actually taken with your 6x9 Zero image?
It is. Yeah, it was about a 15-minute long exposure. Absolutely horrible weather. About as almost worse than what we had in Norwich.
No, it can't be any worse.
The rain was going sideways at the beach.
Is that Zeb standing in that picture with you?
It is not. I don't know where he was off to.
It looks like a lovely toned print, but it's a neg scan, is it? But is it? Have you fiddled with the colors?
I fiddled with the colors and silver effects.
Oh, right. Well. Okay. Ooh, I don't know what that is. Is that I have a really basic I'm a bit of a technophobe, so I have Photoshop elephants and I just use that, so that's about as far as I go.
Yeah, it's a plug-in.
Yeah. See? I have no idea what that is either. I plug in my iPhone and things.
Oh, come on, Andrew. I thought I was the only one who didn't know anything about
No, I've heard the term. I've heard the term plug-in.
Andrew is far worse. No idea what it is. He's not. He managed to get the podcast without me doing it all by himself with no experience, so he knows what he's doing.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was so new at scanning when I did that one, I have to tell you, because Andrew, I sent you the color photo of that.
You did.
Also. Yes, and you'll see that it's reversed.
All right.
Because in the black and white one, I didn't realize I scanned it incorrectly, and so
You can't.
The photographers are really supposed to be on the left.
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? You can do what you like. I mean, as long as you haven't got any letters in there, then people can.
Yeah.
But it only matters when Oregonians remind me.
Oh, right. Right.
Yes.
So you have a lot of color on here. I'm looking at still in the Pinhole albums, and mm-hmm. looks like 6x6, 6x9. Do you do a lot of 4x5? Yeah. Do you do homemade paper cameras, Gretchen, or do you kind of stick more with roll film a little bit? Like the zero image made style of cameras.
Well, I have not made my own camera, I have to admit. So I buy them, but I have. I think I counted up yesterday that I have.
Whoa! 12.
Wow. That's awesome.
Corey thinks I've got a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I have zero image and reality so subtle, Ondu, Kurt's woodblock.
Oh,
you know that one that's made out of one piece of wood.
That has the back with magnets that comes on and off, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Have you signed up to the Ondu Kickstarter for their latest version? Their latest version looks really good, actually. It's got the filter holder on. Magnetic filter ring that just clamps onto the front on little magnets.
Well, and
they're using the same shutter mechanism as James Guerin does with his reality cameras, so it's that sliding magnetic backwards and forwards, because they used to just have the little drawbridge shutter, didn't they, that you press up and down.
But
right.
How do you know that you're not alive if you don't have a filter stuck on your filter threads once in a while and you have to stand there and fight at it and scream? Am I the only one that happens to?
Yeah.
Just wondering. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, cool.
I only have one camera with the filter thread on. It's the reality, but everything else, I just have to hold it in front.
Well, I have that on the reality, and I have it on my newest zero image 6x9. I bought one of those oiled finished ones instead of the shiny ones.
Yeah, like the Back to Nature, series or something. Yeah, that's
yes. Yes.
Cool.
Yes, I have to admit that seldom do I get out of Blue Moon camera without another camera.
I'm sure if I was close to it, I would be the same way. So don't feel too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last week I added a Rolleiflex.
Did you? Nice. Which model?
It's the 3.5F.
Yeah, I think I've got a 3.5, and it was sold to me as an E, I think, but I'm never really too sure what the difference is. It does have a meter in it, which works, although a bit iffy at low light. Mm-hmm. But I think the F have the hood that you can take off, the viewing hood?
Yeah, yes.
Mine doesn't, so I think mine's definitely an E. But other than that, they're broadly similar. But that's lovely. You got that in Zeb's shop, did you?
I did. Yes.
Yeah.
Zeb seems like he's quite the dealer.
A great place.
He's got all the goods, doesn't he?
Well, but now he's pretty much in the back.
Oh, right.
He's not up front too much.
Gotcha.
What does he do out there then? Just stock control, or is he fixing things?
Signs autographs, Andrew. Come on.
Yeah, he does. I know. I'll tell you the story. The first time I went into that store, because I had been looking at his photography online, and I walked in there. I did not know he worked at Blue Moon, and he introduced himself, and I said, "You're not the Zeb Andrews, are you?"
People say that to me all the time.
I thought he was going to be a lot older because of all the photography he's done. So I was wrong. But yeah.
So it's people meet me and they think I should be a lot older than I am, really.
I was going to say, people meet you and they think you're Pinhole Cannon, though.
People meet me and there's probably not too many people older than me. So, but anyway, I've had a camera in my hand since I was 8 years old.
That's awesome.
You posted a picture recently, I think, of your camera that, was it your father gave you, started you off?
My mom.
Your
mom. My mother.
The Brownie? Was it the Brownie?
Yes, yeah. The Brownie.
The Hawkeye.
It was a little Brownie Hawkeye, the little holiday camera that came out at Christmas time. I think it cost $2.
Have you flipped the lens on that?
No.
Don't.
They're the ones to flip the lens on.
Don't listen flip to
Corey. Flip the
It's really, really, you can. It's really easy. There's two screws on the inside.
That doesn't mean that you should do it just because it's easy.
And you flip it around and you get unpredictable results. I did mine.
You get a...
Yeah. Mostly they have some kind of sweet spot if you can work it out, like a lens baby or a Holger, but it's much more... weirder than a Holger. Have you you're not into flip lens, Corey?
I don't know. I'm more of a just
a lensless guy.
You take it out of the box or whatever, you know what I mean? I'm not much of an alterer or, you know, adjusting. Same. Or I just kind of, you know, I like it that way, you know. But I mean, I've seen some pictures with it that looks really cool, but it seems like it just makes the outside edges, you know, really blurry, kind of. I mean, it kind of like
it does, yeah,
throws it out. So for me, I'm kind of I wouldn't, but that's just me. Gretchen, feel free.
feel free to use your flip lens.
so then on the same kind of opposite ends of that, we have like Diane, who has like an insane amount of homemade Pinhole cameras, but you don't have any that you've really done yourself, Gretchen, right? You haven't made many oatmeal cameras or foam board cameras or anything like that.
Hello, Gretchen.
I don't know if Gretchen can hear us.
We've lost.
She's gone.
Yeah. So what we'll do then, Corey? We'll take a break, I guess, and get it back.
Yep, we'll be right back. Bye. There's Andrew. Hey, Andrew.
Hello, Corey. I'm back.
There we go. Are we back?
There she is. Yay.
As far as the listeners are concerned, it'll be a seamless transition. It'll be like a graceful swan on the river, whilst underneath the legs are going really fast.
And it's only going to take us 3 hours to get through this.
Yeah.
The other analogy is from, I don't know which of the Wallace and Gromit films there are, that one of those where they're on a train going around the house. Mm-hmm. And he's desperately laying the tracks in front of the train as the train speeds along.
There we go.
So, Gretchen,
yes.
are you a tripod girl or a non-tripod girl when it comes to pinhole photography?
I am a tripod girl.
Because in 2000, there wasn't a right or a wrong answer. I was just curious.
I don't know. I thought, did I get that wrong?
Yeah, no. Bye. In 2011, you took a picture called On the Grand Pinhole, and it was in the Japanese gardens, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful riot of fall colours.
Mm-hmm.
And you plonked your 6x6 camera down on the ground. So I was prompted to ask you, about your sort of shooting habits, really, with pinhole. Are you carrying that pinhole, those pinhole cameras around with you most of the time? What's your go-to pinhole camera that you carry in your pocket or purse or bag?
I do carry a pinhole camera with me all the time. And usually I will carry like one of those little 6-inch tripods.
Me too.
Just a little tiny one.
I have one of those.
Yes. And the fall color, the Japanese gardens, they're kind of funny about tripods, big tripods. So when right. I go there, I always take a small one. But yeah, I always have a pinhole camera with me. But lately, it's pretty much been the reality so subtle because I like using it when it rains.
Sure.
I do, you know, I don't like taking out my beautiful wood cameras in the pouring down rain.
The zero cameras seem too nice to take out in the rain, don't they? Generally.
Well, especially the new one, you know, the new one with that new finish.
Yeah.
And the same with the wood block one. I don't really want to take that one out in the rain either. So
the yeah. zero is perfect. And also Todd's Oscar pinhole Terrapin camera. Both of those are fine. I stick those behind waterfalls, behind fountains, you know,
right.
and they get rained on and it's fine. You know?
And they're fine. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think more people should go out in the rain. I think it's and take pictures.
Well, if I didn't go out in the rain, I wouldn't go out very much.
Yeah, you and Andrew have that in common, huh? With the
yes, we have similar weather.
Yeah,
we've been dry since I returned from England in June until just this last week, and now we're getting rain.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your time at the pinhole meetup and then your subsequent, because you then left us, didn't you, and toured around different parts of the UK. Why don't you just recap your thoughts about the pinhole meetup in Norwich? What did you think of that?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I thought Alex did an incredible job. It was a lot of work putting that all together.
Yeah.
It was too bad about the weather, but like I said, people who are from the Pacific Northwest, we don't let that rain bother us. You know, like we wouldn't be out if we let it bother us. So it really made no difference to me. I have to admit, though, I was surprised that I noticed that both Monica and Jana didn't have on like wet weather boots, you know,
like galoshes or something.
Yeah, well, just boots. I mean, I had on hiking boots and they were, you know, wearing, as you call them, Andrew, trainers, you know, getting soaked. But
yeah.
I thought it was just an incredible weekend, and I really did like how Alex made it more than just the one day, you know.
Yeah, because you guys went up to the Norfolk coast on the did you go on that
Friday.
Trip on the Friday?
I did not, because unfortunately I did not know about that until I'd already had all my accommodations set and I couldn't change it. So I didn't arrive until Friday.
Right.
And then I stayed in Norwich for a week.
Oh, because nice. The weather got better after
it
we
got
all
it
left.
Was great. Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Were you staying in Airbnb or a cottage or something? Or
yeah, I had like a little house, modern, new. Yeah, actually right across the river from where Monica was staying, but mine was very contemporary.
Was it just you, out of all the American contingent, was it just you who remained behind, or were there others in Norwich?
I think Monica stayed until Wednesday. I think a few of them stayed a little bit longer. But,
did you get any more pinhole photography done? What did you get up to with your pinhole camera?
I did a lot of pinhole photography while I was over there. I went to Blickling.
Blickling, yep.
Yes, that was nice.
Yep.
And then, like I said, I spent a lot of time running around finding where my ancestors lived in Norwich and
cool.
took pinhole images in the different, well, I found the house that he lived in. And so I went in there and took pinhole images and then kept doing pinhole, of course, the rest of my trip.
Did you, which ancestor was this then in Norwich, Gretchen? How many years are we talking about?
Well, he was the mayor of Norwich in the 1600s, early
wow.
1600s.
Yes.
Whoa. And
don't even say you knew him, Andrew, because I'm not going to believe you.
And the kind of the interesting thing is that his daughter went on to marry a man with the last name of Huntington, and they came to the United States early on, and their offspring signed the Declaration of Independence.
There you go. That's pretty cool.
There you go. Yeah. So his house now in Norwich, part of it is a restaurant and the other part is a cinema. It's huge.
Wow.
I was shocked.
Like an opera-sized cinema, like a traditional opera-sized?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a duplex. And
right.
And then the other part was this huge restaurant and still had all, you know, the original timbers, and his coat of arms is in the window in stained glass.
I saw those pictures.
Yeah.
That you did. Yeah.
Yes. They're there. So that was pretty fun, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go way back.
Well, your ancestors do.
My ancestors, yeah. Okay, yeah. I shouldn't say that. I go way back.
all of my family are from Great Yarmouth, which is just 20 miles down the road. So we're very close.
Oh, all right. Maybe they knew each other.
Can't even tell.
I don't know. I don't think we moved in those kind of exalted circles.
Well, what's kind of funny about it is that, you know, like being the mayor of Portland isn't anything you'd want to brag about, I don't think. But being the mayor there in the 1600s, you know, was a big deal. He's probably a crook.
Where else did you go once you left Norwich? Where did you went up? Did you go up to Derbyshire?
I went to Bakewell, spent a week in Bakewell, yeah. Got stuck in a bog. Unfortunately, Doris didn't take any photos of me while I was trying to get myself out.
No.
I was more worried about my cameras than myself, but I just kept sinking further and further.
Oh, you mean like a marshy area, not a toilet?
Yeah. Not a toilet.
Well, you said you got stuck in the bog. I didn't know. Maybe someone locked you in there.
Bog. Is that what you call a toilet? I'm talking about mud and gunk. That's funny.
If someone said I got stuck in the bog, it means, you know, maybe someone locked you in there.
Okay, I better write that down so I remember.
Yeah,
that.
That's a good one to know.
And is that where you you're in Bakewell? Is that where you photographed yourself in a tomb, an upright coffin?
Yes. That's the place where I look like I have two sets of hands. Yeah, yeah, that's where I did that, and so that I loved it there. Walked to the Monsal Trail to a wonderful old viaduct.
Yeah,
that was 16 miles that day.
Yeah, I've not walked on the Monsal Trail, but there's the Tissington Trail, mm-hmm. which is nearby, and that's quite a gentle. Mm-hmm. cycling route along an old train track, and then that mm-hmm. turns into the High Peak Trail, but it's all in that same area.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's great. Yeah. And then of course went to Chatsworth. Mm-hmm. spent two days in Chatsworth. Yeah. Been there a couple other times and never finished the grounds, so this time really did all the grounds, did the house.
And what do you find yourself going back to with your pinhole images, Gretchen? What's the sort of thing that, if you think about it, what are you constantly drawn to with, you know, with travel pinhole photography in particular?
Ooh. Probably architecture and restaurants.
Yeah, well, that's great, isn't it? We love restaurant pinhole pictures.
Yes. And people, I mean, I do like having people in my photos, in my pinhole images.
I do too. I don't like them to be moved so that they're gone. I want to be able to see them, you know.
Right. I want the ghosty image.
Yeah. That's a great picture, the one you took of your friend with his Crown Graphic view camera in some. Mm-hmm. So he's just got some movement there. It's great. Yeah, I love those. Because that's more of an environmental pinhole portrait. So placing your subject in context.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is the
look at that one?
What's the story behind the masks, like the squirrel mask and the unicorn mask? I like those. When you're in the pot, when you're in the lake with the mountain backdrop behind you.
Yes, yes. Well, that was Monica and another friend, Donna Stewart, and I. The three of us, we were meeting once a month for about a year, and I had all these masks, and so we were doing these pinhole images with our masks on all over the place, including in the Apple
Store.
Yeah,
I saw that one too.
Which was a which I am so surprised that security didn't stop us, because that was a long exposure. Right. But so we just kind of were. Yeah, I enticed them to going into the lake. I did not go in the lake. It's cold.
But so you took those masks around with you and just photographed each other in different places.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, it is.
We kept doing that until on one trip to England, I ruined my feet. And so I was on crutches for almost a year. And now Monica is down, you know, so she's got a bad knee. So
I wish I had friends that would do
we
stuff.
We haven't been out. You don't have
I don't have any pinhole friends anywhere near me now.
You need to move.
You need to move to the Northwest. We have that great group up in Seattle and then another group down here.
I've been to Portland before. Yeah. I lived in Seattle once, but.
I'll be meeting up with Alex Yates over Christmas, just after Christmas. I think it's about the 27th or the 28th. And we're probably going to meet in Norwich. And
I would like to go
I'm hoping Kit Young is going to join us. I don't know if you know Kit. Kit's not a pinhole photographer, but he's a member of the All Format Collective. I think one of his mates was on Sunny 16 show recently. Okay. And Kit makes beautiful prints and posts them online. But he's in Norwich. There's a couple of other folks as well who've just joined the Lensless podcast Facebook group who are in Norwich. So I meet up with Alex. Go on, Corey.
I was going to say I want to meet Alex one day too. Hopefully I can.
Well, are you going to the Boston pinhole meetup next year?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be there.
So correct.
Are you Andrew?
So. He's going to be square. Hey, he doesn't have a passport. You see, that's his problem. You have to get a passport, Andrew.
Don't you have to get one to go between England and Scotland, or England and Wales, maybe?
Yeah, you have to pay. You have to pay to go into Wales. They let you out for free, but you have to pay to go in.
I believe that.
And that you can sneak in the back way down through Monmouth, but if you go over the bridge. You have to pay about £6 or £7, I think. Extortionate. Wow.
Oh. Really?
Mm.
Well, the only place I've been in Wales is Hay-on-Wye.
Oh, for the bookstores.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Mm. Yes.
So, you platinum printing.
Yes.
Are you doing that with pinhole?
I have not done it with pinhole, but... The thing is starting in January, I'm setting up my laundry room as my dark room now, and I am going to really concentrate on my contact printing.
Cool.
I have a series I'm working on, and so I've really got to get going on it.
These seven images, if anyone's following along, if you go to Gretchen's album list and go to Platinum, Platinum Palladium. I've got a friend, Steve Segsby, who does this, but I'm never really too sure what the process is. But all I know is the images, when you hold one of these in your hand, I have done, they are just beautiful. I mean, they look great on here. But Laycock Abbey, which, of course, has got those great historic connotations. That's just a super print.
Yes.
Do you want to talk us?
Oh, that's the very first one. That's what you're talking about, before the bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to talk us
before the Clifton
Did you take
bridge.
A class or a workshop for this?
I did. What I did is I went to Laycock Abbey and went around. I used my Hasselblad and went around photos in each of the spots that Henry Fox Talbot did. Yeah. And then I came home and I took a workshop on salt printing. I did that first. Hey. I know. I want to know why you guys go, when you say salt printing. I learned that first. And then I did platinum. And we have the best man in Portland to learn this. His name's Ray Bidigan. You should, really should look him up.
Yeah, he's www.raybidigan, BIDEGAIN.com. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. He taught me salt printing, platinum printing, and wet plate. All those.
Wow.
Yes.
And are you...
So now my light box has been built.
Okay.
And...
What did you use? Did you go to... Have you got some light... You can use disco UV lights, can't you? I know some people use disco tubes.
Right.
Exactly. I don't know what a disco tube is.
You know, things for what do you? Well, we used to call them discos. You know,
nightclubs. Know what disco is?
You know, like in the 70s with
the Bee Gees.
Yeah, discos. UV tubes.
Come on, Corey.
Yeah,
I still I don't know what a disco tube is. I don't know what a UV. You mean like a fluorescent light?
Like a UV. It's a tube, like a fluorescent UV tube. They sell them for discos to get, you know. When you dance,
you mean discos. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. Okay,
when you dance and you're wearing something white, you glow, don't you? See.
Right.
Oh, right.
Exactly.
Did you know that Andrew does salt print?
No, does he?
I'm going to share. I've got loads. I've got loads I haven't shared.
So tell me the problem with salt prints.
Nothing. There's nothing wrong with them.
Nothing.
I might have mentioned them a few times. That's all, Gretchen.
Andrew's into them. That's
you
him.
Have.
I'm going to be doing a lot more over the winter period because I've got a stack of negatives. I don't tend to make digital negatives. I use my original negatives and just pick and choose. You know. Mm-hmm. Are you making digital negatives for these alternative processes?
I do both. The ones that you're seeing on Flickr, yes, I did make digital negatives. I didn't have a 4x5 camera at that time, which, of course, I probably wouldn't have hauled all the way to England anyway. But if I use a 4x5, I would just use my original negative.
I like this one that you have of the Lockwood Abbey, and it looks like maybe it's like 3 or 4, and you're in, and it's a stone gate, and there's kind of a tree off to the left up above it,
mm-hmm.
and it's like an entranceway.
Entry. Yeah, that is the entryway.
Yeah, that's a cool one. I like that one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the one image of a building that you see, the Baskerville Hall.
Yeah.
You see that one? Yeah, that actually is Baskerville Hall, where Conan Doyle got his idea to do Hound of the Baskervilles. I stayed in that room where that balcony is.
Right, where the window is? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Is it in Dartmoor then? Yeah. Presumably it is.
It's right across the river from Hay on Wye.
No, not in Dartmoor then.
No, not at all. And it there's a cemetery with all the Baskervilles buried there.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah. Never knew that.
Yeah. Well, you need to go.
It looks cold. That room looks cold with all that stone around.
It's haunted.
Was it cold in there, Gretchen?
Was it haunted?
No, it wasn't cold. It was raining.
Really? Was it cloudy?
It was cloudy. It was raining. It was England.
We've had an amazing summer. It's been scorching.
You've had a very hot summer. And I know because my friends in London were just dying. And I actually went on Amazon and sent them fans for their house.
All right.
They couldn't find a single fan in the stores. So, yeah.
Do you
don't like it?
On here, you also have your Lomography album. Is that, and you're doing the Sprockets. That's not Pinhole, though, is it?
No.
No, that's just regular.
No, that's just their, one of their plastic
the
cameras.
Little Sprocket Rocket thing, I guess. They still look, I still like them. I like the one with all the people.
Oh.
The spinner back at you?
Yeah, the spinner. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That one's great.
Did you not take part? We some weeks ago, months ago, probably, we had our Sprocket competition
that I won. I'm the one.
You did.
Well, you won out of me and you
with my gimmicks,
with one of your gimmicky IR pictures. But Dave Eichinger won properly, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I love all the Lomography stuff. I've yeah. just been sent a lens baby by Diane Peterson, and in the as part of that, there's the zone plate attachment. I might have mentioned it on Twitter, I think. And I've never done it. I didn't realise it came with this. So there's this little attachment that goes in the lens baby thing, lens thing holder.
It gives you the, it gives you that soft focus like well, the it, old
yeah,
soft
it,
focus.
It's it's a pinhole, and then you slide a little lever, a little plastic slidey thing, and it uncovers a zone plate. And it's I think it's about F9, I think, or something it says.
We're going to have to do something about zone plates because I've had quite a few people asking me about them. So,
well, I think you need to pick your subject carefully. I'm going to, I think scenes with a lot of contrast work well from what I've seen. And
have you done any
and color
zone plates, Gretchen?
I haven't done any zone plate, but I'm sitting here holding my 4x5. It's Photo Technical Group. Maybe you've never even seen one of these pinhole camera, and it's a 4x5 pinhole and zone plate. But I haven't done the zone plate, and it has just a little dial that you
what
can
camera?
Go
what camera is this, Gretchen?
And zone
sorry.
Plate. Photo Technical Group.
Oh.
4x5. Had it for years. It's a nice wooden
pinhole
nice wooden
and one. Zone plate.
Mm-hmm. Model 1, it says on it. So I need to try out the zone
you
plate
do.
Part.
Yeah, I think if you go on Flickr and type in zone plate, you get a feel for what images work well and which don't, I think.
But I think with the zone plate you don't get get that kind of wide angle, you know, like you get with the pinhole, depending on your focal length, I guess, but
yeah,
you know how you can get really close. I don't think. I think it's more of a traditional type of.
I think so. Also, I don't think much is in focus at all.
No, it'll look really good if you have, you know, from those disco days, the portraits from the disco days. You know, they always had that soft focus. Find a wedding.
My theory is the more out of focus. And the crappier your photo is, the more likes you'll get. Seriously. Because I put one pinhole image as a joke out of my Reality So Subtle camera. I was in Bressingham Gardens. The weather was horrible. And somehow I must have got a drop of rain on that pinhole. And so the photo is like a complete fuzz. You know, nothing's in focus. And I get all these likes.
That's because it's art.
I think it's funny.
It's art, baby. It's art, baby.
Yeah, there it is. It's art. It's art. It's that. Have you guys read the book F64?
No. I know the book. You know, I just haven't read it.
What, you mean like the? I mean, that was a famous group of photographers, of West Coast photographers, wasn't it?
Yes.
Is it about that?
Yes. It's about that and kind of their rivalry with the East Coast, which was all pictorialists. And so it, you know, Ansel Adams was totally straight photography. Everything had to be sharp and in focus. And the East Coast liked that those soft focus lenses. I think we're back to the soft focus lenses now.
Well, I think there was that sort of move towards pictorialism, wasn't there, in Roger Fenton, the English photographer who went and did lots of dreamy photographs which were really meant to be like paintings, and then photographers kind of rebelled against that and said, well, if we wanted it to be a painting, we'd paint. We're photographers, so let's, you know, we have the ability to capture everything in sharp focus. So and that F64 movement I think was born out of that sort of notion, wasn't it?
Yes.
I love your series of American roadside images, Gretchen. And it prompted me to think about, are you using specific cameras for specific projects? And that's the first question. The second sort of part to that is, I don't know, I've forgotten now. Just answer that question first.
Yes.
Oh, dear, I'm so old
and forgetful. These American roadside looks, they look like they're similar Holgers.
Summer Holgers, certainly.
You know, I'm trying to find my folder. American
I think some will be Holgers.
Yeah,
no, they're probably a little. Yeah, they're a little bit of everything. I do. If if I'm in the car, if I have a car, then I will haul my Hasselblad, you know, and all the lenses and my pinhole cameras and whatever else I can carry. If I'm like going to the coast, I'll take pinhole and Holga, so, because I feel, well, you know, if my Holga gets ruined, right, I don't really care. But yeah, so, but my gas station, the album Gas Stations, that's what I have been working on that for about 7 years. And the reason there's only three images there is because I am doing a book on gas stations.
That's cool. A classic American thing to do, isn't it? So the people at the same time, I'm not thinking of Stephen Shaw, but he did some, but there's some other more people who, there's somebody who did like a whole series of gas stations, and he made them into like a book that you unfold, I think, and I can't remember for the life of me the guy's name.
Right. It's called 26 Gas Stations. I know I'm drawing a blank too. It starts with an R. But and I actually didn't even know about that book when I started my series. And what I'm doing is abandoned gas stations and gas stations that have been repurposed into something else.
See, you guys in America have lots of these really interesting things like abandoned gas stations. If a gas station closes here, or a petrol station as they're properly called, then it gets knocked down and built into something else, because we don't have the same space that you guys have.
Right. We'll be at that point soon, though, where we have to start knocking stuff down and rebuilding it.
I know. That's why I go around taking photos of all this junk, because it's going to be gone. No, Andrew, what you have, though, is you have buildings that are
No, they're not interesting, though. I like all the modern stuff to photograph from the 60s. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, since Oregon's only been around since 1859, you should come
here. What I enjoyed about
it's all new.
My time in the States is we spent very little time on the interstates, and we'd go on the back roads looking for things, and that's where I'd stumble upon small towns, you know, that weren't really on anyone's radar. Mm-hmm. That's where I'd find the most interesting pictures.
Be careful.
And that's what I do.
What have I got to be careful about?
Be careful about what you say, Gretchen, because Andrew is planning a road trip and he's just going to show up at your house one day.
Oh, I am.
I already told him. Because...
Gretchen, just hold your microphone steady, would you?
We can't hear you.
Have we lost her again? Oh. No, she's there. There you go.
There she is.
Well, I
okay. Just I keep can your hear you. Don't get overexcited and keep your mouthpiece steady.
Okay.
Yeah, my next road trip will be in the Pacific Northwest area.
So Lorraine.
Lorraine, I've already got
Diane, you guys better watch out.
Yeah. And if I can work out where Heather Oklas lives. I don't think I think she's more in the middle of the country somewhere.
Yeah, she's in Colorado.
Yeah, stop and see her as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great.
Yeah. It's a lot of miles, you know, where Oregon is the size of England.
So your gas station project, Gretchen, are you going to be using different cameras for that? Is Pinhole going to come into that?
You know, I wish I had done that. Most of them are with my Hasselblad. And I'm now thinking back, I wish I had set up my pinhole 4x5 next to my Hasselblad and done the two of them together. I guess I didn't do pinhole because I wanted to make sure I got the photo, because I...
Hey, there she is.
Hello, Gretchen.
Hello again.
Yeah.
So we're back. Gretchen, we're back. Projects. I was talking to Corey in the break about projects, and it's quite an interesting area. And there are lots of different schools of thoughts on it. A lot of people are very deliberate about projects. Pinhole projects are just fantastic. I've got several on the go, but they just kind of happen. You know, I find myself making images that are fairly similar with a theme, and I look back on negatives and scans, and then I think, okay, there's a project and it's starting. I can start to group these images together. So how do you work? Are you of that sort of school? Because I think Corey is a little bit, you know, are you out there shooting everything and then going back later to try and work out what a theme is or what a project is? Or do you have a project specifically in mind?
I do have projects in mind when I go out. I did do the 52 weeks where, you know, you do a roll of film a week.
Oh, that's so much pressure, isn't it?
It was a lot of pressure. I did that 1 year. I didn't sign up again. That was a lot of pressure.
Don't blame you.
I did the 50 strangers portraits, and I think I got up to about 16 because I just had a terrible time approaching people on the street.
Right.
I'm a very much of a loner shooter, I guess. But I, like I said, I'm working on this gas station thing, and then I do a lot of candid street photography, and I will walk around with my pinhole camera and just hand hold it.
That's what I do.
Yeah, walking around the streets.
I can't remember whether you were one of my victims on the Saturday lunchtime when we met in Norwich Market.
No, I didn't get my portrait taken.
No.
Of course, I might not have let you do it anyway because I like to be behind the camera.
No, you would. I haven't shared many of them. I've shared one or two. I've got them all to. I'm going to scan them all in. I may make prints, but probably just scan them in and put them on my WordPress site because you know it's nice to have collections of things to share, isn't
right.
it?
Right. That's what I do that on WordPress also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fireside Five. What's Fireside Five? I think is your WordPress mm-hmm. site, isn't it?
Fireside Five was the prefix to my phone number when I was growing up down in the San Francisco Bay Area. Fireside 5-5373.
Yeah.
Huh.
We didn't have numbers. We had names.
Is that because there were so few of you?
Yeah, and party lines. Yes.
Oh, I remember party lines. You could pick up the phone and hear other people, couldn't you? Sometimes.
Right. Yes, that's right. We've come a long way.
Is that
it's
one of those?
No more.
Had to ring it on the side. Jing, 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 jing.
Yeah, that's right.
Those phones?
No, I don't think Gretchen's quite
dial.
That old.
Corey, do you know how to use a dial phone?
Well, that's what we had growing up. We had the one where you put your finger in and it goes 7 and you turn it around. Yes. And you let it go and it goes jigga, 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 and you go and you hit 2 and you know, yeah, that's the kind of phone I grew up with. Yeah, we didn't like. Cordless phones were amazing when they came out. You know, it's like, yes. Oh, where's the cord? You know,
and even touch tone. That was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, now you know people are going back. They're buying typewriters and dial up phones. It's all analog.
It is
funny, huh?
I have have you not been? Has Zeb not sold you a typewriter? Because it's actually Blue Moon Camera and Machines, mm-hmm. isn't it? The shop.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
He's not sold you a typewriter.
I have 5 typewriters.
There you go. I have one.
Has he sold you a car yet?
No.
No. I think we have an expression for people like Zeb in England that we call them wide boys. I don't know if you have, you know, sort of like a Dell boy. Did you only Fools and Horses? You must be familiar with that.
Yes, I love that show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So someone who'd sell you anything in a marketplace.
Right.
We love you, Zeb.
Yeah. Poor Zeb. Well,
he's been our only guest where he thought he was going to be talking for quite a long time. So he thought he'd make use of the time by making a long exposure. And
and
when I was chatting to him, there was people coming up to him.
Right, in the train.
There was a train. I think we had a helicopter or a chopper, I think, at one point.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Helicopters, yeah.
Yes.
That's not right because the very first show that we ever did, I took a picture of myself during the whole show.
Did you? That's a really good idea. We should do that again.
Oh, that is a good idea.
The very first show I took a picture of the whole
show. I'm going to do that next week. That's a really good idea. Should we do that?
No.
You do it as well. Why?
We could have done that today because we have hours. Could have been a very long exposure today.
No, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that next week. I've been shooting a lot of, not shooting so much, but I've been developing a lot of color pinhole images just lately, so that's really exciting. I don't do much color work, but I've been loving. I've been loving the combination. You what, mate?
So, yeah, I said you're backwards. You had that nice, beautiful, bright summer, and now it's dull, dark. And
yeah, no, these are images.
Too bright, though.
No, these are images from the summer mainly that I just got around to develop because I've been saving up all my color negative image rolls of film until I get enough for it to go and buy a C41 kit, and then I develop maybe 16.
I've never developed color. It's easier than
black and white, Gretchen. Yeah, it really is.
I think black and white's really easy.
But you have more choices, don't you? It is easy. You're right, but there are lots of choices. Mm-hmm. And
if you do color, don't go get one of those Sous-Vide. You don't need one of those.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
It's a French technique of cooking where you put the food in like a vacuum sealed plastic bag and you literally just boil it for ever how long, an hour or whatever. I believe it's
really
people are using them to control their chemicals or something.
Yeah, the theory is that you get like a bucket and you put your chemistry in there and you can set the temperature on the electronic sous vide, which you know, we'll regulate the temperature so you can say, hey, I want it to be at 102, and it'll bring it up to 102.
Okay.
But it seems like a lot of people are not trying color photography and just going straight to that, and they're paying $100 for these.
No need. I have a plastic washing up bowl. I just, you know, you get a few gallons of water. I don't know how much. That holds a few gallons of water in this plastic washing up bowl, and the temperature stays constant because you've got such a thermal lag there. You know, it doesn't cool as long as you keep the temperature within sort of half a degree or a degree.
Even faster than that. I got a cheap 3-quart pot from like the dollar store up the road, and I put my chemistry in it, fill the water up, put it on the stove, put it on the stove about 7 and it takes about 5 minutes and it's at 102, and then once it gets to 100 degrees I turn it off, take it out and start developing, and I have no problems with it.
I don't have any problems. I use a European kit from Tetinal, which you guys have Unicolor and things like that out in the States, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know, whatever the
FTP, it's easy. Yeah, Unicolor. It's a real easy process.
It's so easy.
And, you know, I've just started sharing a few this week, and the results are great.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly it's Gretchen, temperature. Because it's a temperature. No matter, you don't have, I mean, like 100 speed film is the same exact development and fix time as, you know, like 800 speed is, you know, like it's not like, you know, you 3.5 minutes to develop it and then 6.5 minutes to do the blicks and the,
although in my
the
one,
fixer and the bleach, you know.
My kit, it says if you use higher speed films, you can get less use out of the kit, you know. So I think they say 16 at 100 speed, but if you start using 400 or above, then you have to reach it. You're probably going to blow out that kit a bit sooner, but I don't know.
I'm up to, 25 rolls of mine.
Wow. Yeah.
Of 120. No 35 millimeter in this house, Jack.
No, really? I'm developing my daughter's film now. I'm developing my daughter's film. So she's shooting with a Nikon FG20, which is like a cheap, you know, consumer level Nikon. Which I was given actually by a friend, and I gave it to her, and I bought her a load of that Kodak Color Plus film, and she shoots and gives the roll to me and says, can you develop it?
Does she say chop chop?
No, I wouldn't. If she said chop chop, I wouldn't do it.
See, my husband does the same thing to me. I develop all his black and white, and then I scan all his negatives.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do. The trouble is she's shooting 35 mil, so scanning, you know, I can scan 12 at a time on thumbnail and then adjust quite quickly, adjust the contrast and things. You know.
I'd all rather right. shove dull nails in my eyes than scan 35 millimeter film.
Yeah, I know, but you have to encourage your sibling, your daughters, and sons and daughters.
My daughters? I don't have any.
But so Andy,
I need to teach my wife how to develop film and scan so that I can just bring it in and drop it off. I could even cut a hole in the wall in like a slot. Be like, okay, here you go, put a slot here.
Yeah.
Send it to Gretchen Children.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, because I'm let's see, right now I have about 12 rolls hanging from my bulletin board that I need to scan. I mean, it takes hours to scan.
Yeah, I'm not a great scanning lover. I'd much rather go in the dark room. And Corey, is your dark room up and running now?
It is. That's what I got last weekend and the last few weekends I've been able to do it. I was so happy the last couple of rolls I shot, instead of scanning them, I actually just put them in a sleeve and made, you know, real contact sheets and looked at them.
Are you using that enlarger yet, though?
I haven't put a negative in it traditionally. I've just been doing contact prints. I think the lens is wrong. It's weird how it. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's just it's really hard for me to see the aperture on the lens ring.
Yep.
I think I'm missing like an adapter for like a different lens other than the Meyer or whatever the name of the Durst. So I got to look into that, but it seems like it's working. I mean, it works fine. I've figured out, you know, like, you know, wide open and what it is all the way down, stop down. So I think this weekend, maybe I'm going to give it a try. I have to make pictures for Amy. And send her some pictures because she sent me a bunch of pictures a long time ago. And so, Photo Mom, 1, 2, 3.
You should get involved. Yeah. Get on the print swaps, Dustin Cogsdell.
I want to, but I can't. I just hate to commit to it because
I didn't commit to the last one because I was too busy. But I've done the previous two.
What about Monica's postcard exchange? Do you do that?
Yeah, I've done two of those. I declined the last invitation because I was just snowed under and I wasn't going to be able to get in the darkroom. But yeah, I think I've done two since I've signed up to this. But I think she sends you a little Elfster reminder, doesn't she?
Yes.
She does.
She does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does. Well, we used to have this great resource in Portland called New Space Center for Photography. And so you could go use their darkroom. And they charge you like $9 an hour or something like that if you weren't a member. And that's where I used to do printing for a long time. And then all of a sudden, overnight, they closed. Gone.
Really?
It was sad. Don't really know what happened.
So there must be enough of you folks in Portland to set up a community darkroom, because that seems to be all the rage at the moment.
Right. There's a new one called The Dark Room, and they did exactly that after New Space closed.
Okay.
It's just not very convenient for me. So
that
sucks.
Can you not set something up at home?
I'm setting up for contact printing, but I moved about 10 years ago, downsized, and lost my basement, which would have been absolutely perfect for a dark room.
Talk to Toby. He's the gorilla dark room guy.
Yeah, he lives on a boat. And
Wow.
And
he does it.
And he does it?
Yeah. He does it. He has to wait until the winter time because I don't think anything is properly lightproof. So, you know, he has to wait for the dark nights.
Mm-hmm. He's like a magician, that guy. He's like MacGyver.
Toby the wizard.
Toby MacGyver the wizard.
That's funny.
Do you know who MacGyver is, Andrew?
I know I should know. I was just trying to hide my ignorance by being quiet.
We'll just keep
looking
moving
him up on
then.
Look him up on Netflix. No, but my laundry room's gonna work. I mean, I'm turning, you know, that's where I develop my negatives now, and now I'm setting it up for my contact printing. So I'm getting there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I ordered all new chemicals, and I'm trying everything Ilford at this point, because I was doing a hodgepodge of this and Kodak that, and now I've ordered everything. Do what?
Are you using the Ilford developer then?
Yes, I ordered Ilfasol 3 and the Ilford Multigrade for the paper. Is that what it is? Is that it, Andrew? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I even ordered Ilford Fix and Ilford Stop Bath.
Well, that's what I use. But I just tell you one thing about the developer. Once you open the bottle, you better use it up.
Right. No. There you go.
It oxidizes and turns it black.
Well, any developer will. So won't, but any developer.
Well, I thought Rodinal doesn't turn.
It does. Yeah, but it does. That's why when it goes black, which Rodinal will do, that's oxidation. But for whatever reason, you can still use it.
Oh, okay.
But with the exception of Rodinal, any developer, be it film or paper, will oxidize. And once it oxidizes, it's useless. So I buy 5 liters of Ilford Multigrade paper in a developer, and I put mine in one of those wine bags in a cardboard box with a tap on it. You just got to remember not to drink it.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's
not... And so, and that just keeps for months and months and months, because as you draw developer off, to mix up a fresh batch, the bag just collapses so it doesn't draw air in. If you've got a liter, other people are now using, I think Andre Dominguez on the Negative Positives podcast, he's using 1 liter brown bottles with those wine stoppers in. So, you know, you can vacuum wine stoppers.
Oh,
so yeah. You can use those.
Let's see.
So there's lots of options.
I have a fresh box here from my local photography supplier, and it has 5 rolls of HP5.
Mm-hmm.
Ilfasol 3.
Uh-huh. Ilfasol 3 is a film developer.
Here's the multigrade. Yeah, let's see. Because the reason I got this, because I was hoping I could get away from the big brown bottles under my kitchen sink, because it's taking up so much space.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking if I had these smaller bottles, I could just, you know, mix it up by batch.
But the developer will, unless you're excluding the air, and there's several ways of doing that. You can, if you've got a liter, just a liter bottle of it, Curry, or bigger.
I think these are liter bottles.
So
do liters.
500. Yeah, no, this is these are only 500 mL. 500 milliliters.
So at the very least, once you've poured some developer out, squeeze the bottle so the fluid comes to the top.
Yeah.
And then screw that top on tightly, and then that'll hold probably quite well.
I think I'll got an extra bottle here. Wait a second.
Or you can stick marbles in.
Okay, here we go.
Steal your kids' marbles.
Is that
and
true?
Pour those in. Yeah, if they're clean, drop marbles in. That's an old trick, to drop marbles in. So each marble you drop in is displacing some volume of fluid, and it'll just as you use it up, you can drop more of your kids' marbles in.
Okay. How old is that trick, Andrew?
Yeah. Until your kid has lost all his marbles.
I was going to. Okay, thank you. Beat me to that. I was going to say I'm losing my marbles, but you know,
I'm here all week. Yeah, so am I. Yeah. And my voice.
Okay, so I think on that note, we should say thank you to Gretchen for coming.
Well, thanks
for Hank. Thanks for coming to hang out with us, Gretchen.
I hope you got enough after all that trying and error.
We like to let our guests know where our listeners can find them, Gretchen. So where would you like people to go to have a look at your collections, your photography, WordPress, anything?
Yeah. Well, pretty much, I'm Gretchen Hayhurst on everything.
Cool.
Okay.
And that's Hay, isn't it?
Hayhurst. Yes. Yep. And if you just Google my name, you'll find I'm the only Gretchen Hayhurst in the United States. So it's pretty easy to find me.
And I'll put the few links that I do have. I'll put all that in the show notes. So if anybody wants to just tap on it really quick, you can do that if you like.
And you've got put the link in of that gentleman Ray who does
Ray Bittigan, yes.
Ray Bittigan. Yeah.
My mentor. Definitely.
I will. Sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hope you got enough information.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
We like to chat about pinhole things and other stuff. So
and
it's
other
been great.
Stuff. Yeah. Great.
And speaking of other stuff, might be doing some different things at the beginning of the year too.
Oh, Like
might
what?
Be expanding and might be expanding and adding topics. Mm-hmm. Me and Andrew both shoot quite a bit of Holga work, so we're thinking about mm-hmm. you know doing maybe I don't know Andrew what like once a month doing a Holga show.
Oh,
and finding Holga artists, you know, and talking to them because we both
It'll be the same sort of style of podcast, mm-hmm. I guess, but we can get. I'm not doing it once a week. Okay, let's just
get that straight. That's a lot. I have to tell you, there's only one Holga camera I don't have, and guess which one it is. The pinhole wide.
Well, I was actually offered one just this week by a friend, and she mm-hmm. had sourced one, and I could have had it for under $50 if I wanted it.
Mm.
And I turned to Dan and said, "You know what? I'm over it."
Yeah, I'll say I tried one out, and I just wasn't that impressed, so I didn't buy it. But I have a Holga panoramic camera that I love.
Is that the one that has the two frames, 6x12?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one I want.
We'll get you. We'll get you on our new Holga show.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't steal the idea first,
and hopefully we can work out the technical difficulties.
You're an expert now.
There you go. Yeah.
Not me. No, never. But anyway, yeah. So that would be great. No, I love using my Holgas. And like I said,
I really
like taking them out when the weather's bad or down to the beach. You know, don't
I'm babysitting. I'm babysitting. I'm babysitting a Holga at the moment. There's the littlest Holga has got its own Twitter site, and she turned up about 10 days ago with a box with all sorts of filters and crazy things.
Oh, cool.
And if I want to, I could take over the Twitter site for the baby little Holga.
Mm-hmm.
It's a glow-in-the-dark purple Holga. And so far, I've shot a roll of HP5 through her. And I'll put in slide film in now, which I'm going to cross-process.
Oh.
And then I send it on to somewhere else. It goes around the world.
Daredevil,
yeah,
you.
Cool. Yeah.
Yep. You need to be on Twitter, Tori.
Yeah, I don't do. I have a Twitter account. I just never use it. I did.
But you're going to be on the Gitswap thing soon because has Mark got his? Somebody, I think Mark said he, Three Eyed Monster, had got his Gitswap.
Yeah. Just showed up. Yeah. Oh. Yep.
I did get a little Diana baby, you know, the little tiny that takes 110 film.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I just got one of those because I was going to do... is it James Gurin, the one who puts the cameras in his mouth?
No, that's... what's his name? Justin Quinnell.
That's right. Sorry. Oops.
Awfulograms.
Be sure you edit that out. But
you don't... Yeah, we will. Don't worry. You don't want to be putting... you don't want to be putting a 120 Holga in your mouth.
No, I don't. Luckily, I can say I don't think that would fit. But in my working life, I was a dental hygienist. And so I do remember you saying about how clean his teeth were. Yeah. And I was looking at it and thinking just the opposite. I wanted to get in there with my tools and clean off all that stain.
Justin.
Picky.
And on that note, I think we're going to end the show.
Yeah. On that note.
We always take several goes at ending the show. We're so professional.
Don't publish that. Okay.
So you guys, go ahead, Andrew.
I was just going to say next week, we must do a pinhole picture of ourselves recording the show and share it.
Yeah. I think you should do that.
And thank you for being the first of our female November guests.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I take no political correctness offense on that, like some.
We have quite a lineup coming. I mean, and they're all photographers that Andrew follows and really likes and respects, mm-hmm. and it's photographers that I follow, and they're all amazing photographers. So we want to talk to them.
Thank you for including me.
Sure.
Yeah. You guys have a great weekend.
Yep. And you.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Curry.
We'll just have to hang tight, everybody. We had... I'm getting that same screen again, which I click on the link. Okay, bye.